Sunday. We have made the last Sunday of every month where I teach or bring a message on the end times, eschatology, the study of last things, the end times. And so if you have your Bibles, and I encourage you to bring your Bibles every Sunday. I'm old school, I still bring my Bible, but you can turn to it on your smartphone or however you get there. But turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and that's going to be the main scripture reference that... Oh, I'm sorry. It's time for the kids to go. Yeah, kids can be released to the back right now. Sorry, kiddos. Man, we got a lot of youth in here this morning. Yeah, it's good. And I'm glad that the young people are here this morning because I believe you really need to hear this message. We all do. So the main passage that we're going to look at today is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're actually going to look verses 1 through 12. And you can take notes on the back of your bulletin, and if you're taking notes, write down 1 through 4, just 1, 2, 3, 4, just four things I'm going to share with us today that I want you to leave here with. Most of you know this. Back in October, you guys sent Jade and I to a pastor's conference for Pastor Appreciation Month, and we went to a Bible prophecy conference. Never been to one of those. And so we went and really enjoyed it, heard lots of great teaching. And while we were there, there was one gentleman that really talked to the pastors that was there, and he encouraged us pastors. He said, "You, as a good pastor, you need to be teaching your flock about what's going on in the end times. They really need to understand how it lines up with the Word and what's going on." And it really hit me because I was like, I need to do that. And so I began to pray about it. And I was like, Lord, I want to do it, but I just can't, you know, I don't want to do a series every year. And I feel like it needs to be more regular than that. And so I came up with the Lord's help of doing it the last Sunday of every month, doing something on Bible prophecy, and then trying to make it relevant for today and what we're going through and what's on the scene. There's so much that's going on right now. Israel's surrounded right now. There's just... The spirit of Hamas, which is a spirit of hatred and violence, is just being released like never before. We'll talk a little bit about that here in just a second. But what's on my heart as a pastor is I want you, not only just me, and that's the reason why I'm bringing this message, is so that every one of you can leave here understanding the times that we live in, but then also be able to tell your friends, your family, lead people to Jesus. Amen? That's the ultimate goal there. And so today's title is The Mystery of Lawlessness, and we're going to look at this. This is something the Apostle Paul said. He said about the mystery of lawlessness, and we're going to look at that here in just a second. But the main two scriptures, first of all, was 1 Chronicles 12:32 about the last days and the end times. Even in the Old Testament, it said the men of Issachar, men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, 200 chiefs and all their kinsmen under their command. And then Jesus also said this in Luke chapter 12, verses 54 through 56, and it's called, in my Bible, it had the heading, Interpreting the Time. It says, he also said to the crowds, and I want you to know, in the crowd was Pharisees and Sadducees, scribes of the law. They knew the first five books of the Bible. They understood the prophecies as well, the Old Testament. And he says, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming. And so it happens. Yesterday, I remember calling my wife. It was cloudy, just felt stormy. It was muggy, and I said, honey, there's going to be some storms firing up today just because of the times that we're in. And then it says, and when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And what he was trying to tell the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the people that were there, I'm Jesus. I'm the Messiah. I'm here, and you don't see me because you don't know the Word and you don't understand the times that you're living in. And I don't want us to miss Jesus on his second coming, amen, because he's coming soon. Now, this mystery of lawlessness and how this applies to us today, and my dad was telling me a story here that I had in my notes just a little bit before, in my notes to talk about this. We are seeing this mystery of lawlessness being ramped up like never before. And I had to sit there and think, Lord, is it just my age or is it really ramping up? And the Lord said, no, it's ramping up. This isn't just Mark, you're 54 years old and you're seeing some things now. This wasn't going on when I was in high school. I see high schoolers in here. This spirit that's being released right now, it is running rampant. And I'm going to talk about that. I never thought in my living days that I would hear people talk about defunding the police, defunding the law. But this is a part of this spirit of lawlessness that's being released. I'm just going to show you how this spirit of lawlessness is affecting all of us. I never thought in my day that I would see, and not only this, it's a political issue, but a political issue over a male and a female and what restroom they go to. I'm just up here saying these things, and I'm just like, Lord, this sounds so ludicrous that I'm standing in a pulpit talking about this with your word, that we don't even know what a male and a female is. We're seeing the increase of homosexuality. And if you're dealing with that today, God can set you free. Amen. But we're seeing this where it's being celebrated, not just tolerated, celebrated. And everything's coming out of the closet with it. Jade and I were talking about this. You can't even watch a TV show today without it being, and it don't need to be in there. They could still have the same story plot, the same everything, be a great movie, but it's in there because they're trying to wake it. This spirit of lawlessness is being released. And here's the deal. I can tell you, it affects my family. It's on both sides of my family. I have two pastor friends who have it going on in their family right now, their immediate family, their children. And their children are being affected by it because it's the release of this spirit, the spirit of lawlessness. They were raised in God-fearing homes too, raised knowing the word. Children thinking they are animals. We're letting kids, and guys, we think that this is happening on the West Coast and the East Coast. This is happening as close as Weatherford, Oklahoma, Woodward, Oklahoma. We're allowing kids to take litter boxes to school because they won't go to the male or female restroom because they identify as a cat. It's crazy. That's crazy. And we've got to stand up to this stuff. We've got to get Christian people in those areas, on school boards, administration, things like that, to stand up against these things. Another thing is a spirit of hatred that's being released right now. That Hamas spirit. Listen to this. I was reading this the other day. There's a lot of college campuses right now. Everybody's preparing for graduation. I know we are here in Leedy as well. A lot of college campuses preparing for graduation, commencement addresses and things like that. There's a lot of colleges and a lot of major colleges that are canceling their graduations because of the pro-Palestinian movement that's going on. Yeah. And because it's a spirit of hatred that's been, it's unlike, I heard Pastor Jimmy Evans say, it's even worse than what was being released in the days of Hitler that's being released. And I was thinking about this, and all the young people, please listen to me when I say this, is I was praying about this week and thinking about it when I was driving around in my pickup, and I was like, Lord, why we're hearing about this pro-Palestinian movement, but it's all focused on college campuses. Why is that? And God said, because, Mark, the enemy is after the mind of children. Yes. And from 18, when they graduate, into their early 20s, their brain's not fully developed. Scientists say your brain's not fully developed until you're 25 or so, 25 to 30. The Bible says 30 is what I believe. But so during that time, they're very impressionable. And so they're being bombarded with this stuff because the enemy wants nothing but hate to be in these people for the Jewish people. When he releases the lawless one, which is the Antichrist. We're going to talk about that today. There's spirits of just confusion and deception and all this stuff. And we're all sitting here saying amen, and I am too. But here's the deal, guys. It's affecting every one of us in this room, whether you realize it or not. Because these are the spirit of lawlessness that's being released over us. And when it starts affecting you at home, you know what happens? Is instead of standing on the word of God, you start thinking, well, maybe I can compromise right there and accept that because it affects my child or it affects somebody in my family. Now, there's a way to do it. We got to do it in a spirit of love and grace, but we have to stand on the word of God. My friend Cody that was here, you know, he's going to run for Senate in this district 27. I encourage you to vote for him when that comes up in June. You know, that's the thing. That's why he's getting into it. I have another friend of mine that got on the school board in Kingfisher, Oklahoma. And some of you may have heard about what went on in Kingfisher. He's a pastor. He got on the school board, And he was the one that was trying to bring the community together, bring healing, praying. And he was doing the right thing, voting for the right way to go in this situation that they're in. I'm not going to get into all that, the details of that today. And he was being called names and everything else when he go to school board, because people were surrounding the school board meetings and stuff. And then his church, he's got a 1,000-seat auditorium in Kingfisher, Oklahoma. At the time that he went in here, they were up to around 600 in their church, around 600 in their church, because he stood for truth. He's down to 175 right now. Now here's the deal. Here's the deal. God's going to build that back, I believe, in time and all that. But sometimes I'm telling us, when we have to stand against lawlessness, you're going to have to count the cost, because you're going to have to stand on this word. If they hated Jesus, they're going to hate you too. I can just promise you that. But I'm hoping people in here run for city council, run for mayor, run, get on the school board. We need Christians in these areas to come against this spirit of lawlessness. Amen. All right. Now let's get into, Old Testament scripture I want to read you right now, because I'm going to be talking about lawlessness, is in Isaiah 33, verse 22. And by the way, this is where our three branches of government come from. The three branches of government found in our Constitution are the result of a scripture. It's Isaiah 33, verse 22, and it says, "For the Lord is our judge, which is the Supreme Court. The Lord is our lawgiver, which is Congress. The Lord is our king, which is the president. He will save us." But it's all under the Lord. The Lord is the lawgiver. The Lord is the lawgiver. Amen? All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to get into what the Apostle Paul was teaching the church at Thessalonica. And I'm just going to give you a little history here real quick. Is they thought that Jesus had already came again the second time. They thought the rapture had already happened, and they were left behind. And because they didn't have internet like we have today, amen? They didn't have email, they don't have social media, they didn't have anything like that today. And so the Apostle Paul has to go in there and correct them. And he says, "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that day of the Lord has come," because it hadn't happened yet. "Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come." Now listen to this. "That day will not come." The rapture of the church is not going to come, and then there's going to be a second coming. "For that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first." Do you know what? That's already happening right now. The rebellion in the church is happening by the droves right now. "And the man of lawlessness is revealed." Okay? The Antichrist is not just a spirit. There is a spirit of Antichrist right now, the spirit of lawlessness. But there is going to be a lawless one, and he is going to be a man, and it is going to be the Antichrist that's going to come on the scene. The scripture is very clear about that. Called the son of destruction, or the son of sin, or the son of perdition, which means the son of hell, basically, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God. In the temple of God, Jesus talked about this in Matthew, in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. "Do you not remember that when I still was with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now." They understood this. Paul had already talked to them about this. What is restraining him now is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the restrainer. And the Holy Spirit is in the church, the true church of Jesus Christ. Not in every church, the true church. The true church of Jesus Christ, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness, that's where my title came from, is already at work. It's ramping up too. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. When's he out of the way? When the church is raptured. And then all hell is going to break loose on planet Earth. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. That's at his second coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refused. Listen to this, guys. This is very important today. Young people, listen to me. For those who are perishing because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. You don't want to be here. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion. In fact, you know, when you read that and you don't understand the scripture, you think God did it. God didn't do it. What they did, because they didn't love God's truth, they opened themselves up to strong delusion. That's what that means. So that they may believe what is false, or another translation, the more correct translation of this, that they may believe what is the lie. What is the lie? And we're going to talk about that. In order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay, that was a mouthful. Now, I want to share something, because I'm talking more about the mystery of lawlessness today, because that's what we're dealing with, all right? And I had somebody tell me one time, why are you even going to teach on the Antichrist? Because you need to know. You need to know. And there is a spirit of Antichrist already at work right now, which is the mystery of lawlessness. It's already at work. The Apostle Paul said that. But I am going to give you just a few things, and I'm going to have to go through this really quick, because I could do a whole teaching on this. But there is going to be a man, the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, all right? And I'm just going to give you 10 quick things about him and the scripture references that go with it, and I'll send you my notes to anybody that wants them. The scripture tells us he's going to claim to be God, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 through 4. Here's the deal, and people are going to believe it. You might be saying, I know some of us are like, how is it? Guys, and it's going to be people that are even sitting in church today are going to believe he's God. Okay? I want you to hear that. Because a lot of times when we read this, and especially young people in there, we think, oh, it's people out there in the world, it's unbelievers, it's going to be unbelievers, but there's also going to be some people in the church that believe it. Because they don't know the word. They don't know the truth. They don't have a love for the truth of God's word. So he's going to claim to be God, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 through 4. He will blaspheme God, Revelation 3, 6. He will display miraculous powers, Revelation 13, 13. We don't even know what all those are going to be. We do know that one thing is right here in Revelation 13, 13. It says he calls down fire from heaven, and everybody sees it. And how he sees it, I think everybody sees it because of the internet and social media and media and everything else. He will come back to life, so he's going to be resurrected after a deadly wound. He will rule in authority, Revelation 13, verses 5 through 7. God's going to allow that to happen. He's going to rule over the whole earth. Verse 6 says he will control the world's economy, Revelation 13, 16 through 17. I just want you to think about this. When the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John was teaching back in their day, and they said there's going to be a mark, and you're going to take it either on your forehead or on your wrist, I imagine they were like, what in the world are they talking about? Now today, the signs of the times, I could see that happening. It's already happening in some instances. There's some people that are, you know, on Amazon and different ways, that's how you buy things now. But guys, that technology is here right now. That technology is here right now. You know what COVID showed us? And God, you know, and I had some, you know, family, friends that passed away from COVID. What COVID showed us, how fast things can change in this world. It can change overnight. Our currency, what this is talking about, could change in a day. In a matter of hours, it could change because of technology today. That's the times that we're living in. Number 7, he will desecrate God's temple. Jesus said that. When you see that happen, you know, I'm coming, second coming, because I'm getting him. Verse 8 says he will seek to destroy Israel and the Jewish people. He will cause the earth's armies to fight against Christ, and his final destiny is the lake of fire. Revelation should be his final destiny is the lake of fire, Revelation 19:20. I just wanted to put that on number 10 just to let you know we win, okay? He does not win, okay? We win if you know the book. In Revelation 6, verses 1 through 2, in Revelation 6, verses 1 through 2, this is where the Apostle John is having the revelation of the last days. It says, now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and this is talking about the Antichrist here. This is not Jesus on the white horse. This is the Antichrist. It says, and I looked, and behold, a white horse. This is the lawless one. And its rider had a bow. Everybody say bow. And a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. The first time that I read that, you know, I was thinking, okay, a bow, I mean, it's bow and arrow, you know, he's conquering, you know, that's what I'm thinking. When you study scripture, And I'm going to just give you a little bit of tidbit about this because it goes what's happening today. Traditionally, this has been taken as a sign of military prowess and superior weaponry. And we know it says he has a crown. He's going to conquer the whole world. But that bow here is the Greek word toxin, T-O-X-O-N, toxon or toxin. In other places in Scripture, get this, in other places in Scripture, this word is used to describe a rainbow. This bow is now recognized worldwide as the bow of pride. People today march with this bow to exhibit their woke philosophy. Did you know wokeism is the mind of the lawlessness? That's the mindset, the woke philosophy. So, going back to verse 11, just wanted to throw that in there about the bow, because he's after the mind, and we're seeing that being released right now. And the young people need to hear this. You need to know what the word says. What is the lie that the Apostle Paul was talking about in verse 11? It is the doctrine of the Antichrist. I'm going to show you the doctrine of the Antichrist today, or the teaching of the Antichrist. Antichrist means against Christ. It can also mean in place of Christ or instead of Christ. I'll tell you this, something that you may not have never thought about, but the Antichrist is not going to be an atheist. He believes in God. He's just not saved, okay? Because he's going to take on the spirit of Christ because he's going to be the false Messiah. Okay, stay with me. Everybody with me? All right. Now, we're going to turn to 1 John and 2 John because the only time in the Word of God that Antichrist is used is in 1 John and 2 John. And it's used four times. It's amazing to me that John is the same one. He wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and he wrote Revelation. He had the Revelation, the last book of our Bibles. And in 1st John chapter 2, and I'm going to give you these scriptures today, 1st John chapter 2, verses 18 through 21, what the Apostle John points out are four doctrines of the Antichrist, or four doctrines of the lawless one, okay, that he is already the mystery of lawlessness, that spirit of Antichrist is already being released over the earth, okay? We're already, what I'm going to teach you today, we're already under this influence right now. The man just hadn't showed up yet, but the stage is being set for him to show up. And all this stuff is going to embody him. And he's going to come on the scene, and he's going to be smooth, and he's going to be charismatic, and he's going to act like he's bringing world peace, and all this stuff, and he's going to have an answer when the church leaves. This man's going to have an answer for it. And everybody's going to buy it. Hook, line, and sinker. So you better know the word. Amen. I cannot stress that enough as your pastor today. You better know the word. Because this guy is going to set himself up as God, and people, even people that have sat in church for years, are going to believe this guy, hook, line, and sinker. Is what the Bible says. He's going to deceive even the very elect. So 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. I'm trying to teach this to you today like it's my last message on planet Earth. Amen? Because this is how important this is. Every Sunday I feel like that's how important this is. 1 John 2, verses 18 through 21 says, "Children, it is the last hour, and as have you heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are all not of us." Okay? But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and y'all have knowledge. And I write to you, that's what I'm trying to bring y'all today, is biblical knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Now, we're reading that, and we're like, okay, what is that? Embodied in this is what the Apostle John is trying to teach people. And this was going on in the first century church, and it's going on in the last century church is what I believe as well. What these guys fought, the apostles' doctrine, what they fought all the time was heresy and false teachers and false prophets and false apostles coming into the church. Did you know that still happens today? It does. All right. So here it is. This is the first doctrine that the enemy is implementing, is the separation of fellowship between the Antichrist and the Bible-believing church. A separation of it. It's already happening. It's happened here in Lee. We saw the Methodist denomination split. One went with the Bible, one didn't. I'm just going to say it like it is. It's already happening. It's already happening. The separation of fellowship between the Antichrist and the Bible-believing church. I just want to caution every one of us in here because, and I do, I love to listen to preaching and teaching, and I have, you know, if you don't know, just holler at me and I'll let you know, okay? That's you know, my job as a pastor. But we should not automatically embrace the, because here's the deal. I'm just going to say it like this. A lot of people will go to the doctor, and whatever the doctor diagnoses you with, they buy it hook, line, and sinker just because he's a doctor, okay? Here's my deal. Go get a second opinion. Go to the Word of God and get a second opinion. And so, and people do that with church. Oh, he's a pastor. He went to so-and-so seminary. He's got all the degrees, and he's a doctor even, you know, before his name and all this stuff. So I ought to listen to him. He knows the Word. He may not. He may not know any more than you do. He may know less than you do. He may be taking you down a different road. So we should not automatically embrace the message of any preacher or teacher simply because of his or her reputation or credentials. Rather, we must listen cautiously to their Christology. Do they really believe in Jesus? What they say about Jesus is of utmost importance. The struggle within the church is the fight, and this was happening with the Apostle John. This is why he's teaching this. The struggle within the church is the fight to preserve sound doctrine. I'll never forget, I had a pastor friend of mine that was in the Methodist church, and he was telling me, he goes, well, I got to go to conference because I got to defend the Word of God. And I was sitting there going, did you just hear what you just said? And he was like, what? I said, you've got to go to your conference to defend the Word of God. And I was like, I'd be gone tomorrow. And God got on to me. He said, Mark, here's the deal. You're not in that fight. I've got him in that fight. I said, okay, I understand, you know. I have to back off of that. But that was where my thought process went. I'm like, you're going to your denominational headquarters to fight for the Word of God. I mean, that's like an oxymoron to me. That don't even make sense. But that's going on today. And we've seen the church split. And guys, here's the deal. There's going to be more of it as we're living in the last days. Mark Ward and I were talking this week, and I was talking to him, and I was just telling him something that's on my heart, and he was just, and I love this, I'm just going to say it. Mark was encouraging me. You know, every now and then your pastor needs encouragement, you know? And so Mark was encouraging me. He said, man, he goes, Pastor, you've just been so on fire, you're just spot on and all this stuff. I said, well, Mark, I've been trying to get intentional about being in the true apostles' doctrine and in prayer and what needs to be delivered. And so I appreciate that, Mark. But the deal is we all need to know what the apostles' doctrine was, what they taught in the early church. And there's a lot of the stuff that they taught in the early church that the church isn't teaching today. One of the things is they don't teach on sin and repentance anymore. You go to a lot of churches, it's just a lot of self-help stuff. They'll tell you this when you if you want to build a church or a gathering, is just bring a feel-good message that just hits a really high felt need, and you'll pack the pews. Yes. Instead of just telling the truth, because the truth is what sets people free. Yes. Amen. But sometimes the truth hurts, and sometimes the truth makes people, I ain't going back. Well, that's okay. You can go lick your wounds somewhere else, and then we'll open our arms back up to you when you come back. Amen. Because sometimes the word cuts too, you know, it's like a surgical knife. All right. So here's the second one. 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 through 24 says, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Okay? There it is. No one who denies the Son has the Father. The enemy hates the Father-Son relationship, by the way. It's a birthright thing. If you know the scripture, Satan was the worship leader of the whole earth. And then he fell. Okay? He was right there with God. He's not there no more. Okay? We're there in his spot, and he hates us too as the true Christians. Then it says, whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. Okay? Here's what the enemy is going to try to do when he comes on the scene, and he's going to be very crafty at it, because he's just not going to come out and say, you know what, you're going to deny the Father and the Son. He's going to be very crafty at how he does this. But his second doctrine that he's going to be bringing is to deny the Father and the Son connection. There's a lot of churches today that don't even believe in the Trinity. And it's all through the Scripture, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yes. Three but one, okay? Some people can't wrap their head around the Father and Son connection that God, you know, with Mary, and here, I'm getting ahead of myself, all right? Ready to have Christmas again? Luke chapter 1, verses 30. This is why we teach this every Christmas. Luke 1, it's the virgin birth. That's the apostles' doctrine. You've got to believe this. This is because his blood is pure. It's not tainted by sin or anything else. Okay? Luke 1, verses 30 through 32. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. So there it is, that father-son connection, okay, that the enemy doesn't like, and he's going to be bringing false doctrine to get people to disconnect that in their minds and in their hearts. And even people that have sat in church, I want you to hear that, okay, that know better. John 3:16, most of us can quote this by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There's that father-son connection. The mystery of lawlessness is this. I'm trying to sum this up in one sentence. The mystery of lawlessness is Satan's secret plan to ruin mankind. And thus, it is the antithesis of God's mysterious redemptive plan through his Son, Jesus. God loves us. The enemy hates us. And you need to remember that. 1 John 4, verses 1 through 4, this is the third one that we're coming up on. 1 John 4, verses 1 through 4, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So the third thing that the enemy is going to do, and there's a reason behind this, is he's going to teach people his doctrine. He's going to teach people that Jesus really didn't come in the flesh. And there's a reason behind this. Is because if you believe, and we do, amen, we believe that Jesus came in the flesh. To believe that Jesus came in the flesh denies the doctrine or the teaching of Gnosticism. Now, here, and I know that's a big word, and I'm going to tell you what it is. The Gnostic heresy believes that Jesus was a spirit creature or a spirit man, not a fleshly one. So, here's what it rejects. So, it rejects his blood sacrifice for our sins, and the Antichrist, because he's going to come on the scene, and he's going to say that I'm God, and I'm God in the flesh, and the Spirit of Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, is in me and on me. And he's a man possessed of Satan, is who he really is. So the Antichrist will teach that he carries the Spirit of Christ and that he is the true Messiah. That now, here, I just got... Now you understand why you need to understand the teaching of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. They're three, but they're one. So it denies that Jesus came in the flesh. Here's number four. 2 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching, the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. So here's the fourth one, and this is the one. This spirit is already at work. I'm telling you guys, I cannot tell you this enough, that the stage is totally set for this man to show up. And everything is ready for the rapture of the church. There's not anything that needs to happen. Here's number four, and it's pretty long. The Antichrist doctrine will appeal to pride, vanity, and intelligence. And then intelligence, what I mean, is man's reason, what we fell from in the garden, or the reprobate mind, okay, the fallen mind. Because when he starts teaching and saying his doctrine and telling people when he's on the scene, I'm going to tell you, people are going to be going, my gosh, we have never heard such things. This is awesome. Now I understand. You're going to hear words like that, even come from people that have been sitting in church. I'll show you that here in just a second. He will not require, listen to this, he will not require his hearers to admit their sinful nature or to repent. Because we're all gods underneath him. This is why when you, and one of these days we'll study the book of Daniel to go along with this too. But this is why in both Daniel and Revelation, he is referred to as a mouth speaking great things. That's how they refer to him. A mouth. He is going to be a great orator. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine one time, and we were just sitting around talking, and the subject of Hitler came up. And he was telling me, he said, Mark, have you ever watched Hitler when he was speaking in front of those crowds of armies and stuff? I said, well, no, I really haven't. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, when he had such a control over those people, but when he would get up there, he would shout and scream and tell all the, and it just fired these people up. And then they were doing what he was asking them to do. And he said, that's a type and shadow of what the Antichrist is going to do, but it's going to be like times 100 because he's going to have this mouth speaking great things and just deceiving and confusing so many people worldwide because people didn't know the truth or didn't hear the truth or weren't lovers of the truth. We got to be lovers of the truth. And everybody said, amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you hold to these next few things that I'm going to say, and some of them, I'm going to be honest with you, the virgin birth, wow. I mean, come on. Little teenage girl shows up one day, she's engaged, and she says, guess what, Joseph, I'm pregnant. And he goes, by who? God. Baloney. I'm sure they had that fight, okay? I'm almost positive of it until the angel showed up and set Joseph straight too, okay? Guys, and I sit around and think about that, and it's awesome to think about it. And the miracle that was, and I'm going to tell you, you believe that by faith. Yes. You believe that by faith. Because there's a lot of these things that we sit around and go, Pastor Mark, how do you prove that? My Bible says on the resurrection, there was 500 people that saw him. Okay, 500 saw him. And then the disciples said that they sat down and he ate fish with them after he was resurrected. So he had a fleshly body before. He had a fleshly body afterwards that was resurrected. Yes. He wasn't a spirit man. He didn't come as a spirit man. He came as a baby just like we did, grew up just like we did, was tempted just like we are, but without sin. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. And so this next thing here, when it said in 2 John 9 there, or verse 9 that we read in 2 John, when it said, the doctrine of Christ or the teaching of Christ, this is what we all need to adhere to. And this is the teaching of the apostles. When you read everything that they read, if you read everything, they were constantly renewing the mind, which is our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Last week I did a message on revenge, and I had one family that contacted me and told me something that they were going through, and I was, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, but when I was telling Jade on the way to church this morning, that message last Sunday about the spirit of revenge is renewing our emotions to the Word of God. so that we realize God is our avenger. Amen? See, when this guy comes on the scene, I promise you, it's going to be like the Avenger movies. Everybody's going to say, I found my superhero. Yeah. And it's him. And really, it's the lawless one and the Antichrist. Okay, 2 John verse 9 that we read just a while ago. Number one, teaches the divinely inspired word of God, the Bible. This right here is the ultimate authority. It's not your truth. It's not his truth, her truth, somebody else's truth. This is the truth. There's a teaching today going around that whatever you believe, that's your truth. No, it's not. This is the truth. So if my behavior and my actions don't line up with this, guess what? I need to repent. If I've got some kind of sin that's going on in my life, a besetting sin that I'm struggling with, I don't say, oh, that's my truth. I'm just going to go down that road. No, you line up with this word of God, you repent and ask the Holy Spirit to set you free. Yes. Yes. Amen? That's the apostles' doctrine. It's not. This is the truth, the absolute truth, and you've got to have a love for it. I love the word. Yes. I love it. I learn something new every time I get in it about me and everything and just about life, and it's just amazing. This word is alive and powerful. Number two, teaches the virgin birth of Christ, the Son of God. I just talked about that. Number three, teaches Christ's substitutionary blood atonement at the cross, and which is the only remedy of our sin, and that means repent. That's the power of the cross, what happened at the cross. I'm going to tell you something. And I know I've talked to Leroy Boltman about this because I know he's done this as well, is I wish every Christian could cast out a demon. First of all, get them out of you. Amen. Okay. Second of all, if you've ever seen a demon get cast out of them, when you say the name of Jesus and you say the blood of Jesus, you know there's truth behind that because they tremble and they have fear like I have never seen before. The time that it happened to me, and I know I've shared this story with you a lot, and some young people in here need to hear this, is because, and I don't believe, hear me out, I'm not trying to scare anybody, I don't believe that there's a demon behind every bush, but when one shows up, I know him, and I know what I can do with that, and cast it out. The first time it ever happened to me, and I'll be honest with you, in my flesh, I was scared to death, because I saw it. And I don't know if God allowed me to see it and opened up the spiritual realm or what, but I saw it. And I saw that this little boy was not this little boy. There was something else there. And this thing could sense my fear, okay? And I was a baby Christian at the time. And I was like, I got to go find the guy that just preached this message tonight, which was a lady. I was like, I got to go find her. And nobody was paying attention to me. And I'm like, I just saw something here. And it ain't of God. I can tell you that. And I knew that I shouldn't leave this little boy. I wanted to run. I was wanting to run home and just say, I didn't see that. But God wouldn't let me do it. God wouldn't let me do it. And God said, no, Mark, you, in my spirit, man, I was hearing, no, Mark, you take authority over that right now. Because this thing was looking at me, knowing that I was afraid, and it was going like this. This little boy was going and looking at me. But I saw past the little boy, and I saw what it was. And immediately the Holy Spirit said, they're trying to tell you that there's more of them than of you. And then all of a sudden, thank God for the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. Here comes this boldness. And I said, in the name of Jesus. And guys, I'm going to tell you something. When I said, in the name of Jesus, and I said, by the power of his blood, this thing looked at me, and you could tell it went from a spirit of this, like, hate, like, I'm scaring you to get away from me, to this little puppy dog, like, oh, my gosh, he knows the name. And then this little boy was gloriously delivered. And then this little boy got up without anybody saying anything to him and ran around the whole church shouting Jesus. And we had a Holy Ghost stomping dance right there all over the enemy at the end of that church service. And that's the deal, is guys, we have authority in that name. That's how much power is in the name of Jesus and how much there power is in the blood of Jesus. And that's why the enemy wants to come and say that Jesus didn't come in the flesh and he didn't shed his blood for you. All right, here's the last two. Teaches the reality of his resurrection as the first of many redeemed who would follow him. And then number five, teaches the miracles of the Bible, especially the miracles of Christ's public ministry. Jesus did miracles based on people's needs, compassion. This guy, there's going to be a lot of showing off with miracles. And here's what miracles do, what I've learned is no flesh is going to glory in God's presence, number one. And so whenever you see miracles, you know, make sure that they line up with the Word and make sure that there's compassion behind it and the love of God behind it, and it's not just a bunch of show, because there can be a bunch of show and it's not of God, because the enemy can do miracles too, and he can do signs and wonders too. And so you've got to know the Word. And if you have this inner witness, I'm just going to tell you as your pastor, because I love you, because you may not, it may be somewhere else for this. If you have the inner witness that this is not of God, I'm going to tell you right now, it is not of God. Trust it. Because there's been times I've went against that and then paid later. If you feel that in your gut, that's the Holy Spirit telling you, this isn't it. It may look like it, smell like it, even sometimes feel like it. There might be a whole lot of hoopla and excitement around it, but you'll just know in your inner man, this ain't of God. Yeah. This is not of God. And get away from it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. All right. This is the mystery of lawlessness. I pray that that helped you. Because, guys, what we teach here, the pre-tribulation, is right before the lawless one is revealed is when the rapture of the church is going to happen. I don't know what the time frame is between there, but he's going to have an answer for our departure, okay? And he's going to deceive many. And so we have to be ready. Now, are there going to be, you might be saying, now I know there's some young people in here, you might be asking, well, Pastor Mark, are there going to be any people that come to Jesus during the tribulation? Yeah, there will be. But they're going to pay for their life. I mean, it's going to cost them. They're going to be martyred. Because if you don't take that mark of the beast, you're going to get killed. And with our technology today, they can find me as soon as I walk out into that foyer with my cell phone. Okay, I'm just trying to tell you guys, that's the technology that's going on today. Our phones are listening to us. Yeah, right now they are. I'm probably being blacklisted right now. Here's the deal. And I was going to share this, too, at the beginning. There's two ministries, endtimes.com, and that's Pastor Jimmy Evans, and prophecywatchers.com that I trust that you can listen to. Got lots of great information and everything. And this last week I have a subscription to Prophecy Watchers. I get a magazine every month. It's always really good. It's got a lot of great articles in it and teaching. And this week they sent it with a letter. And the letter said this, that they had somebody that subscribes to that magazine. They said, we have a son that's in the military, in the Navy. He's out in the ocean. And he said, we have him a subscription to this because he's a believer. And so he's supposed to get it on his boat. And he has been missing it for several months. And he finally went to his supervisor and said, hey, I'm missing some mail. And he told him, I'm missing my Christian magazine called Prophecy Watchers. And he said, well, I'm sorry, son, but our military, higher than I am, above my grades, above my pay scale, has labeled that as extremist material, and they're not going to give it to you. That's our own military doing that, okay? And it's just good Christian teaching and Bible prophecy. And so, guys, this goes with what I'm teaching today. This spirit of lawlessness is being released. And for you to overcome it, you're going to have to know the law, which is the Word of God, and stand upon this. And I encourage you to stand and get in the fight. We got to keep fighting. Amen. I'm not going to stand for cat litters coming into Leedy, Oklahoma. If I got to get on the school board, I'll do it. And you know, and I just want to laugh because I'm like, that is so ludicrous that I even have to say that we're letting, you know, kids use litter boxes. You know, we need help. Yes. That's the spirit of lawlessness. Yes. And some of us are getting to the point where we're compromising and saying, oh, that's okay because that's how they identify. No. It's a lie. They need to be set free. They need the truth. And the only thing that's going to set them free is the truth. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. and want to make sure that everyone here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior before they leave today. The Bible makes it very clear in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all put together. Just, you know, you just repent of your sin. You recognize, you admit that I am a sinner. I need a Savior, and Jesus is my Savior. And so I want to lead you in this prayer to do that. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with him. Say, "Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me." And everybody said, amen, amen. Did everybody learn something today?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to go out of here without the spirit of lawlessness upon us.
Yes.
Amen. With the spirit of God upon us. And I want everybody to stand up, and I want you to grab hands with the person next to you, your family there. And I'm going to speak a blessing over all of us today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Love y'all.